It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, man, it's always changing. We're somewhere. We're going to Virginia, then we're going to be at the Outer Banks with family and so on. Then we're going down to Lafayette, Louisiana, to Red Pill and G. Edward Griffin's 90th birthday party. So it's so we're going to try and make that, but that's going to be an all-nighter. But what else are we used to? Now, James Corbett and I did not do last week. Did we do last week? No, we didn't do last week. And a big difference a week makes. This is what my experience has been, James. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. Ooh, I did it. Okay, so what happened was we were traveling. So for a week, you know, I wasn't checking. You know, my Telegram went unchecked for a few days. Oh, my God. And, you know, email, that kind of stuff. We're driving, we're doing, I'll get to it, you know, whatever, tired, and I'll, you know, get to it later. Looked at it, and it's like talking to James for an extra week or something. You know, stuff builds up. And what happened was I got slapped upside the head with so much stuff and things happening around the world that I'm in, I don't get panicked. I don't get, we see it coming way ahead of time and a lot of, it doesn't happen. I came across Ernest Hemingway quote. It was like, slow and then all of a sudden, suddenly it happens. Kind of when I say doesn't happen all at once, but it, will happen overnight thing. So that's starting to come up a lot. And I'm going, whoa. I mean, we've gone through these cycles before. What I'm going to do is I want to turn it over to James and, some of the observations and news that's been happening, everything I want to get into. I can spend a lot of time on that, but we only got, a shortened, would be like 40 minutes or so. And I wanted to make sure that James, from that, I throw it to you and you give me just what you think in the last couple of weeks since we've talked. What has happened? Do you feel an amping up? Is there something? Share with me, James. What do you think?
Okay, well, first of all, our connection's a bit choppy, so if my audio gets choppy, just let me know. But I 100% feel, I feel what you're feeling, okay? I just recorded this week's New World Next Week, which will be out in about 12, 24 hours or something like that. When it comes out, watch it, because, I am feeling what you are feeling. It is on. This is it. It is happening. I am hearing from airline pilots, medical workers, people who've been in their jobs for years, sometimes decades, saying they're going to try to make me take this jab. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to lose my job. This is it. This is the line in the sand. This is the hill I'm willing to die on. And there are people marching all around the globe about this right now. It is on, because this is it. There is no other issue at the moment. This is the issue. This is the line in the sand towards the technocratic tyranny. And if we take that one step, the rest of it follows. It all follows. Once the vaccine passes in place, that's it. The rest is just filling in the blanks, just connecting the dots. We know where that story goes. So if we don't make our stand now, we will not make it.
And I share this, we talked about it before. I mentioned to the audience that my youngest daughter is the last one still at Honeywell Aerospace, military industrial complex of whatever. And she filled out the religious exemption forms and did, and of course it's, you know, she sent us the form and I looked at it and it wants to know about your children's vaccination status, a bunch of other personal. She goes, "Isn't this a HIPAA thing? I mean, it's not just you're asking me a bunch of private stuff about my kids. No, your damn business. You know, they're not vaccinated, but they're your damn business." They came back with a response from Human Resources saying, "Yeah, it is to our business. It's not a HIPAA violation of all the details about your children and stuff. Because to give you religious exemption, we want to know how serious you are. And there's some, you know, trans blue hair, whatever, in human sitting there deciding whether you're religious enough or something." I'm like, who makes these decisions, you know? So she's like, "No, you got all the information from me you're going to get. Decide." So she's already decided she didn't really want to be there anyway. But the as all the best people are leaving, this is what is interesting. The best people, while there are jobs galore out there begging for the best people, she may just take time off and be a mom. And so this has been an interesting view from their standpoint. Hey, man, we're military industrial, and Biden said, and we're going to, and we don't care if it's, you know, legit or not, and doesn't matter, and you got to fill out all the forms. And one thing that was interesting, they said something like, yeah, Donna, you said, they said something like, if you are not for the vaccine, then you're not allowed to take some over-the-counter medicine or something.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just weird. So I smell desperation. There is something else going on. There's another deadline that we have yet to really understand what's going on. So what I did is I started emailing former guests and friends and stuff around the world. I wanted to get, like, you know, talking to you, and I go, all right, I want to know what's going on. Now, Max Egan was on my show a couple weeks ago, and he intimated to me off air that he was, Max Egan's not his real name. Max is his middle name, and Egan, I think, is his son's middle name. So he's kind of under the radar. He applied to leave, okay? Gained permission, boom, he's gone. He's now in Acapulco staying at Jeff Berwick's for a couple of weeks before he decides to go. He goes to Acapulco and so on, so they know each other. And he's got out of the country. Now he can talk. But right after he left this last weekend, his sister got a visit from the police looking for Max. And he said, man, it's my intuition. I could just feel I was getting letters. You should kind of, you need to come report to, you know, the home office or something, right? And he's going, no, I think I'll decline. Well, this, a friend of mine also that I, in fact, I met at Acapulco, a couple that visited with us in Arizona, they travel the world, you know, every year or something, got married in Ireland this last summer, but we couldn't go. We wanted to go. That was going to be our Ireland trip of, you know, COVID and things suck it. So what happened, I called him and he goes, yep, it's amped up. They are cranking down. You can't go shopping. You can't go to the pub. You can't go anywhere without a vaccination. He did say that it seems like the people in the UK, you know, are kind of like had enough of it. You know, that there's, you know, a lot of protest. I'm getting the feeling that there is a deadline of something. I think it's going to be an awareness by a lot of people. It's going to be obvious what's going on. I'm going to make this comment and see what you think. I think that they're going to start seeing, as Fauci predicted, there's going to be a lot of death and damage coming, but it's coming from the vaccinated people. And what they have done, and I found out, a lot of people are going, yeah, in the hospitals, they're if you haven't been vaccinated in the last 6 months, they're classifying you as unvaccinated, and that's what they're putting on it. Oh, it's the unvaccinated that are dying. Well, they're dying because they got vaccinated. But if it's not in the last 6 months, that they're reporting you as unvaccinated. There is something wicked this way here. You know, comment?
100% right. I think there are two, to be fair, I think there are two possibilities. One is that there is for whatever reason, there is some kind of deadline that they're working to. And it certainly seems that way. It seems like they are sprinting towards the finish line on this one. The other possibility is that this is the gun. They have pulled the trigger. There's no unpulling the trigger once it's been pulled. The trigger has been pulled. They can't go halfway on this one and then sort of stop. They're going all the way. So they are committed. So I don't know if they are working to a deadline. It certainly seems that there is. They definitely want this to happen, and they want it to happen quickly. And I think this is related to the economic collapse that we've known is baked into
Trigger's
the cake,
pulled,
has been
man.
Coming all this time. As I've talked about, for example, John Titus, he's talked about the BlackRock meeting in 2019 that preceded. In the next collapse, this is what you guys should do, which is exactly what started happening in September of 2019, and then moving into the cover of the scamdemic. I don't know if you can see that.
Where'd you get that? Yeah.
This one. Okay, so when I was doing my questions for Corbett on why do you say scamdemic, I think someone pointed out that scamdemic is in the Urban Dictionary now. If you've never seen the Urban Dictionary online, they have all the, you know, the lingo and everything. So that's on there. And then I was looking at the intro and it's like, oh, buy your scamdemic merch. And I was like, okay.
So twist my arm.
Anyway, if anyone wants one.
So where do they go to get the shirt?
Is it urban-dictionary.com? I don't know, urbandictionary.com. Anyway, just search scamdemic Urban Dictionary. I'm sure it'll be there. And then it's just a link there. I don't know who gets that money. I'm not vouching for any corporation here.
How much
here,
is
I'm
it?
Just
40, 50 bucks? Are they getting you?
Probably. I don't remember. And I got it shipped to Japan, so it cost even more.
Yeah, really.
I thought it was worth it.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Thank you.
You're right. They're working towards something right now. And I think it's everything. It's all of the agendas. It's everything that we've been warning about. You for decades and decades, me for 14 years. Everything is converging on this right now.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I've seen, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, in the bedroom on the bus, you know, we have a TV in there, and I watch YouTubes and stuff and get, you know, my fill of, James Corbett and so on. I'm, you know, in there watching. And something happened with our battery. Anyway, electrical pulse or something went down and it turned off and whatever. All of a sudden it reset my YouTube, or they did, or something. So they don't look at, because usually, you know, this is what you've been watching, and I won't log in, you know, because screw them. But, you know, they know anyway. But there was some kind of severing that restarted it. And then it was just some general crap or popular or whatever and crap. So I have to start watching what I want, and then it'll, you know, start repopulating the stuff that I'm more interested in. But when it rebooted, the thing that came up all the freaking time now, Let's Go Brandon videos. And I mean, they're everywhere. It is at school board meetings, at, you know, sporting events, at, you know, freaking marathons, in the store, somebody grabbing the mic at Walmart. I mean, whatever the heck it is, it's a Let's Go Brandon thing, to the point that now they're banning it. You're not allowed to say it for what, you know. And this is and this is exactly what I was talking about. It is all measured by general public opinion. When general public opinion turns in certainly humor and satire and memes, and it starts going against them, they get a sense of desperation from that, and they'll lash out. And then the parents starting to see how clear this is with these school boards and what they've been doing and where they've been attacking America. And then when they have the ability to communicate with each other what's happening in their community, and they see, the same thing's happening here. I want to share this one thing with you, get your comment. When we first started getting our first email accounts, I think I got my first one in 92 or something like 93. Yeah, 93. And we could start to see, you know, a lot of things. And as activists, we're like, where do you go? Well, this is before search engines and so on. So there were email lists, and there were, you know, bulletin boards, and then BBSs. And then they had, a lot of news sites. You know what I mean? What do they call it? There were servers that would have groups that were on it, you know, that you could look at. So we just, as libertarian activists, we go, all right, we'll just see what's going on. We'll start with the Bill of Rights. I mean, what the hell? First Amendment. Who's for freedom of speech and worship and all that kind of stuff? And it was kind of scattered around. You hit the Second Amendment. Whoa! Man, that's where the discussion was. Everybody understood this Second Amendment thing. So this is Brady Bill was going on and Clinton administration and all this assault weapon ban and everything. So, man, you wanted to find where the libertarians were gathering. It was there. What we found out is Gunners of America, Larry Pratt, and Sheriff Mack, while he was still sheriff in Safford area there in Graham County, they came to our headquarters. We had a safe headquarters. Second Amendment is for everyone as part of our libertarian stuff there, like next door. And we had a big presentation to where they had a balcony and a parking lot, a bunch of people there, and they're talking, yada, yada, yada. Larry Pratt, we'd never do this in the three-day waiting period that the NRA, oh, it's okay as long as the FBI will, you know, delete all that search stuff they did on background to get your gun. Well, then it's okay because we trust them. They're not going to, you know, keep that information, that kind of crap. And so Gunners of America, Larry Pratt, gets up, head guy, and he says, oh, yeah, we would never do this and do that. I go, Larry, you need to check on something, because we're on the internet, these different groups, and we found out in Connecticut, in the name of Gunners of America, they're approving the instant background check. As long as it's instant, then it's okay. You get the database and you'll delete it, it's okay. And I go, in your name, Gunners of America, they're doing this. I don't think you know. He did not know. So for the first time saying, yeah, I see what this internet thing is. It's not waiting on somebody that, even in their own organization, in their name, they don't know. You know, then you have to where there's individual activists that are sitting there and watching stuff happen. A bunch of stuff we found out this way. So we're going, that's what they're afraid of. At the same time, there was an NRA guy named Neil Knox or something like that. He was a prominent individual on the board of directors, and he had an email list and, you know, whatever he said, right? Well, this is where PGP encryption came in, because not only can you read it, but you can verify that it's that guy. Use the public key to make sure it was encrypted with the private key of the guy. Well, this is important because during a key vote, and Congress is going to do whatever, all of a sudden you get everybody on the NRA list gets this email, oh yeah, call your congressman, tell him to vote for this, it's great and wonderful, in the name of this guy, and it wasn't him that did it. So we're going, ow. It's communifreakincation. It's at the rights delayed, rights denied, whatever the hell. It's like, it's got to be instantaneous. It's got to be from the right people. It's got to be communicating what's really going on during the battle right then. That is the only saving grace, that why I'm so big on communication and privacy and all this stuff. So now we have a story that some Israeli company has bought up a bunch of the VPNs, you know, privacy, personal internet access, what a PIA, you know, and a bunch of others, that all these VPNs are now being consolidated. So at the very least, they know who has a VPN, if they're not, you know, scamming, scraping, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So this is just from, so you can see, you know, for 25 years or so of me being involved in activism and using the internet, that I can see what their Achilles heel is. Us sharing relevant, immediate information with each other. That's where they're coming. Then I find out that Trump, doing his social media thing, is using Mastodon, which is a noted whatever, and they can't censor and that kind of stuff. Oh, hell no. So them going after Trump for this is not that he's doing it, is that they can't undo it. They learned their lesson from before, so they're going to noted kind of this IPFS node thing. So I'm going, yep, the battle is on now. That, coupled with a bunch of the moves that they've made and the threats they are and the firings and what they're willing to put up with, and if they leave this country vulnerable to whatever the hell, which we already are screwed, you know, it's on. I can see, because you and I talked about, is 2020 it? Yep. 21 is solutions. 22 might be what?
Oh, I haven't even really put that thinking cap on yet, because I'm I think, you know, I mean, a lot of this is coming to the head this winter. I mean, so much is happening in the next few months, especially there in the U.S. with the mandates that isn't a mandate, an order that isn't in order, but everyone's complying, and there's all these deadlines. It's happening right now. People are starting to lose their jobs en masse about this. The shortages are starting. So I'm thinking this winter is where something, you know, something gives one way or another. As for going into 2022, I think it depends what it looks like after the end of this dark winter, that energy. We can have even a sense of what that is.
It's going to be cold. Energy, electricity, basic fundamental crap.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, this, yeah, I mean, as a venturing, I guess, I would say 2022 is consolidation of everything that we've done over the past several years to prepare. We're going to start using it in 2022, I think. So
I know what it is.
And what does that look like?
It's going to be singularity versus singularity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what does that look like from the communications perspective, right? Because you're exactly right. Communications are so incredibly important in this time. Imagine if you could, if we were living through what we are living through right now in the 1990s, when there was no, I mean, there was a World Wide Web, a few people were on, no one was getting their news from, there was no consolidated infrastructure, there's no way to share information, you know, through video and audio right away or anything like that. We would just be at the mercy of the corporate controlled dinosaurs to tell us what was happening. We might hear, oh, this is also happening in Russia. This is also happening in Lithuania. You might get reported here and there, but you wouldn't really know. All you'd know is what's happening around you. And you might even fall for it because you wouldn't even have a chance to sort of see through the bigger layer of the 18,000 layers of lies that are involved here. It is only because we have had access to this information that we have been able to even see through the scamdemic as it's developed. But that exactly is why that's what they're going to go after, of course. And yeah, deep fakes and all that are coming. They're already here. But as if that is not going to be a thing going on forward. I used to say to people, if you don't see it on my website or you don't hear it coming from my mouth, don't trust it. Don't just trust someone on the internet claiming they're me. But even then, like at some point, they're going to start faking our video.
Exactly.
I mean, they have tons of video and audio of us, right? They can start faking us.
Exactly.
It's going to start coming.
No, this is exactly what I wanted to lead up to, is that this, I think it was Neil Knox. It was a NRA guy when they you know, spoofed his account or his email list or whatever to get him to do whatever. It's going to be at the perfect time. It's going to be Super Bowl time. I mean, whatever it is, they're going to have, James Corbett says, oh, go to sleep and it's okay and don't worry about it. And it's going to look good. This was, we had on Freedom's Phoenix, because we do a lot of technology. I've been covering this for years. And it was a long time ago. It had to be at least 8 more years ago, where they had the ability to manipulate video to where they could change where even light came from, shadowing, all that kind of stuff in processing of Adobe, whatever the hell. And I'm going, when that first came out, I'm going, oh, we're done. And then they started having live, you know, people talking, and you could have a different face. Well, they did it with the Oscars. They have one actor in the face of Jennifer Lawrence. Remember that a couple of years ago?
Right.
You know, she's. I'm going.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've
Jennifer
seen
Lawrence,
that,
the deep fake, the guy with the mangled teeth that was in. But he's a popular actor. Empire, I think he was in that. He was in the movies Armageddon, you know, all kinds of crap. But you know, it's you know, his kind of raggedy character actor face on Jennifer Lawrence was ew, you know, but they did it. His face, it looked blended perfectly. Like, I'm going, I mean, I'm sure you can kind of, you know, probably see some stuff or whatever, but that was, you know, what we're allowed to see. Then you have,
exactly.
like, you know, 9/11 when they're got, you know, hi, mom, I'm calling from the plane. I am going to, you know.
Hi, mom. It's Mark, your son, Mark Berman or whatever, Bingham, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so this is, and this is stuff that they've tested and showed generals. They're going, look, this is what we can do. This is what we can say. This is what we can psy up an entire country. We can, you know, do it. So we can't, we have to be principled. We have to have already made up our mind beforehand.
Yeah.
We have
That's
to
it.
Know
yeah.
what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Up here.
And don't, yeah, exactly. And don't just listen to what someone is telling you. That's why I always get so deeply uncomfortable when people are like, James, what sources do you trust? I don't trust sources. I have my own understanding of the world that I've built up over decades now of research and understanding and witnessing and observing, intuition, all of that goes into here's my understanding. And I bring other things on board as they fit and as I can verify them. But I don't just trust a source and never trust a source. No, you have to have. By this point in 2021, I'm sorry if you're new to this. I just got an email from someone calling them truth babies, all these people who have only been at this for a year or two because they're suddenly waking up. I am sorry that you're coming in at the deep end, but there's no time to learn to swim. You have got to go in the deep end, and you have got to have your understanding, at least basic understanding of what you stand for, your principles, in place now, because they are going to be tested.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that I'm thinking of when I say, you know, how many minds we can free has been an important goal. Now it's how many asses we can save. And it's going to be, I'm going to be like saving my ass and my family's and screw you. I mean, I'm not here to babysit people. You know, I'm not going to be dragging, oh, well, me. They come swimming out from the shore to get away from the whatever. The monster's coming to get, when you're sitting there warning them, the ship is leaving. You know, the train is moving. And then they'll stop the train, you know, so that you can, get eaten by the monster too. So
I don't take
off.
Any pleasure in that. I don't. No. It is horrible to watch. But yeah, we can't do it all. Alex Jones had a thing years and years ago. I remember him hearing him talk about it. When he was talking about, he gets thousands of emails a day and people trying to contact him about this and that. And he said it felt like I'm in the one life raft from this, you know, shipwrecked ocean liner or something, and I've got thousands of hands reaching up out of the water trying to get into the boat, and if I let them all in, we're all gonna drown,
right?
I mean, I can't do it all, and that's what I feel like sometimes. Yeah,
your own boat.
I've been trying to help people, but I can't do it all,
you know. This is here, I can show you this. These two stories here are interesting. They have Glenn Greenwald came out talking about Amayard's funding gazillionaire that funded Intercept and kind of left him alone to do whatever he wanted to do. But come to find out, he is funding these whistleblowers and so on. You know, oh, Facebook, they did this. We need to be. What do they need to be? What's he pushing for? What do they need, James?
Government regulation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow, surprising. Who would have predicted, huh?
You know, so he's like going, this is what's really going. See, it's never what they say. Now, there was the guy that makes, he's being interviewed by their friends, and he's called the Canadian Prepper. And the guy on the right, the guy on the left, he builds these bunkers, you know, and he goes, I wanted to build bunkers for the common man for, zombie apocalypse or, you know, tornadoes or hurricanes or whatever, $20,000, we can make you a cool, nice, whatever, and you can store your crap and whatever. And he's going, it's not even my business anymore. He goes, I'm not making them unless they're like $250,000 now. All the wealthy, the rich people are putting them under their houses, their bug out thing. You know, they got money, man. I'm making, I can't make them fast enough for the wealthy. I deal with people you would know. And it is how many freaking bunkers can they make, Barry, and freaking here we go. And they're something, somebody, you know, why does Bill Gates have so many bunkers? I mean, you know, these guys know. So what did Larry Page from Google do? He went to Fiji or something, you know, and doing his thing. Oh, I can't believe you rich people are, and Musk wants to go to Mars and leave us here to rot while Bezos is going to have an orbiting, whatever the hell. These guys have already planned. Or they at least already know. What don't we know, James? What is it we don't know? What do they know we don't know?
I'll tell you what we don't know. We don't know what they know.
Right.
That's the thing. And because of that, they can manipulate us. So remember a few years ago, probably 2015, 16-ish, there was a lot of talk about, look at all these rich, you know, CEOs and millionaires and billionaires buying land in New Zealand. And it was all about New Zealand. New Zealand's the place to go, guys. Look, all the rich people are moving to New Zealand. Maybe New Zealand's the bug-out place. And I started hearing it even from people in the independent media. Well, you know, there's a lot of people going to New Zealand. I'm looking into maybe going to New Zealand. I think that was a PSYOP test. I mean, look at New Zealand now. Is New Zealand a country you want to be in during this?
Well, Bush and them are buying Argentina and freaking South America crap all over by the gazillion.
Yep. Yep. So I think, you know, whatever signals we are getting at our level of the propaganda pyramid, are signals that are designed to mislead us, I would say, about where to go or how best to situate ourselves for whatever is coming. I agree, something's coming, and they are preparing themselves. I just don't think we're going to get the inside scoop on that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, one of the things that came across that I was looking for and found was InfraGuard. And a lot of people, they don't know about it, or they haven't checked it or something.
Right.
And, you know, I want, you know, just throw that out there because it's such a thing. And InfraGuard came to my attention in 2004. I was doing radio in Phoenix, and a friend of mine worked for Intel, and he would just kind of, he was a libertarian, he'd just keep me informed a little what's up, because they're always United Way and some funding they were doing, and you go to a meeting, and we need to be in support of how we're going to rip off taxpayer one way or another. And it was the FBI, now this is after 9/11, the FBI went to all the utilities, certainly the power utilities, because they were insulated from the internet intentionally. We don't want to have all our crap like what's going on in Iran. You know, all of a sudden the power stations go down, you know, that kind of crap. So they go, no, we got firewalls or inside, we don't do internet and none shall pass and that kind of thing. Well, InfraGuard was, oh, you got to let us install some backdoor software for us to protect you from, you know, internet infiltration. Or they go, well, we're not connected, we don't do that. And they go, but you need to have us connected so you can be connected and get connected and we're connected. They go, but we're not connected. No, you got to be. So finally it went up that each one of the utilities, and this is when he started calling me, he's going, they're getting board of directors and the head honcho of CEOs replaced to put in to get the VP of whatever to meet with the FBI and get their InfraGuard in there. Then when Rahm Emanuel went to Chicago as mayor there and so on, one of the first things they did, put everything on InfraGuard. Closed circuit televisions, control the water stuff, the water, blah, 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 the ports and everything. You know, I'm going, we have already been infiltrated. This is not their, they're going to do this if we let them. They already did it. Get the F out of the cities. This is a save your crap and leave thing. So we're really focusing and pushing on this shelter building deal.
Yeah, 100%. I agree that it's already, I mean, all infrastructure that we probably can't even imagine has already been laid for all sorts of takeovers of all of the things that we rely on, if we rely on them. And that's one example of it, but there's many of them. People to this day probably don't know about the 1996 Telecommunications Act and CALIA, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act that came in the 90s under Clinton. That was all about, well, you know, we got to prepare for all this mobile phone technology and all this stuff that's coming. Oh, we're going to have to hardwire back doors into the system for the FBI and others. You know, it has to be. We have to have communications assistance for law enforcement. Who could be against that, right? And so a lot of people don't know. A lot of this has been wired in the back door from the beginning. You never had a mobile device or anything that wasn't feeding quietly into the back door of the NSA.
Okay, I got to confirm that a little bit. On my radio show, I was on a radio station that every Wednesday night for an hour or two or something, Sheriff Arpaio had a show. So the fact that I was on the same radio station as Arpaio was the reason why Arizona's of the 150 of Homeland Security, they had a state liaison to each governor, you know, that were reported to Rich, you know, at the time, you know, whatever his name was. So here you got Homeland Security is a new thing, right? Then you have 50 states, and they each have their guy. Well, do they tell the governor what to do? Can the governor say no? You know? Well, this guy I want to have, oh, yeah, you know, we'll have you all, oh, golly shuckins, D. Willikers, you know, we're all freedom. You can come on and tell us all about it. He couldn't wait to come on. He wanted, and while I was, you know, typing everything he's saying, I was making questions before in show prep, and we're sitting in the studio, and he's trying to impress me. Oh, yeah, and I did this, and I did it. I'm just writing this stuff down. He's thinking I'm not paying attention. You just keep yammering, okay? Come to find out, there was a big scandal in the Don Bowles murder. Was a reporter that got blown up in the late 70s, early 80s in Arizona that was reporting on a bunch of stuff. There was a big, you know, we're going to fix it and everything. He was one of the Phoenix Police Department detectives that was, you know, kind of one of the cover-up guys. Then he disappears for like a decade or more, you know, and, you know, for probably 15 years or something. Then he came back and got appointed as the head SOB. And this is a Phoenix cop guy. detective. Where did he go? And all of a sudden now he's Homeland Security Arizona guy? What the hell was that about, right? So he's on. So this is an interesting show. It was when they were doing this green, blue, yellow, orange, red, you know, threat level crap. Well, they had a threat. Oh, in Miami, there's terrorists or whatever. All the airports shut down. Sky Harbor, Janet Napolitano, which went on to be Homeland Security, you know, she's shutting down there, searching trunks and cars. Everybody's missing their planes, all this kind of stuff. And there I'm going, wow. And I ask him, I go, what the hell does Arizona give a crap what happens in Miami? How is it? We're all one thing. That's what they're trying to do. Come to find out where he was at, as I, you know, drill down and start doing some research, he worked for Motorola in Europe, making sure that all of the early cell towers and infrastructure for mobile cellular communication was, you know, was compliant. So these guys, I mean, you know, this has been going on for a long time, at least the 80s, people at the lower level that are the people that do this stuff are now what? Homeland Security, 20, 30 years later. So you think they didn't have the same...
Let me throw in a story. Let me throw in a story that, again, just speaks to the fact this has been going on forever. But so 2008-ish, maybe, I remember... I don't want to reference him again, but here it is. I remember Alex Jones talking about, at that time, TiVo or whatever.
Right.
Actually, I think this was 2004 or whatever. Remember the Super Bowl incident thing with Justin Timberlake, the wardrobe malfunction
thing with
Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
TiVo or some, you know, some company like that issued some release like, oh, you know, 3 million customers rewound that moment or something like that. And then... So, and Alex Jones pointed out some of the coverage of that was like, hey, wait, how do you know how many people rewound and watched that moment again? Like, you're keeping data on this, right? And so, you know, like, surprise, surprise, we're keeping data on this. But fast forward to this week, I saw an article on Japan Today, just scrolling the Japan news, and there was this story. A big thing on social media here was that the, I think it was the Kyoto police or some local police prefecture department started putting ads, targeted ads on YouTube, targeting peeping Toms with a message that just says, you know, peeping is illegal, you will be caught or something like that. And the weird part of the story is, so it's based on your viewing history. If you have like peeping type words in your history of YouTube watched videos, you will get this ad. And people on social media were going like, whoa, so they're actually, so they can spy on your search or your view history or search history in order to give you certain ads. Isn't that peeping? Like, isn't that what the government is doing here? But it just goes to show that, yeah, I mean, a couple of decades ago, people were freaked out. They could tell that you rewound a certain moment or something. But now they can literally see everything you've seen. They can target you specifically based on keywords or anything. And there are still people who, despite the fact this isn't conspiracy theory anymore, we're allowed to talk about this now that Snowden has finally revealed the fact that government spies on us. We never knew that before. Well, it isn't conspiracy theory anymore. And yet still, how many people in the sort of average normie has actually internalized all of this level of surveillance that's going on right now? Maybe one in 100?
This is, before we go, I know you got to go. I want to get this in because, you know, damn it. This is, here it goes. Have you ever heard of Google's selfish ledger? Have you ever heard of this?
Yeah.
What do you know of that?
It was a few years ago now, right? It was a leaked internal video that they had. I haven't watched it for a few years, but it's super, super creepy. And it's basically how they're constructing the all-seeing eye that's going to know everything about you and thus presumably be able to predict your entire future and all of that.
It is the digital equivalent of DNA, but it's multi-generational. They do all this, your searches and whatever went into your mom and dad brain and you got little kids. They know that has probably as much or more to do with their future behavior as their DNA. So this is a multi-generational data collection that they have now, and it's families. So where we have family, you know, messaging that we do, group messaging between me and my kids and the grandkids and all that stuff, that's being harvested. It's being analyzed. Mm-hmm. And who's to blame? Who's it? Where's the court? What do we got to do to nip it? Nip it in the bud. So this is, it's on. Okay, you got to go. This is what we're going to do. You're going to need a couple of weeks doing whatever you're doing, right?
Okay. I'm doing my course. Yep.
You know, so this is, I've been hearing about, I saw a video that you did and you got, and that's doing well, and you're going to be, Professor James, okay? So this is, I do want to make sure, because we're kind of busy. I was going to try and beg off today because we got long story, but I knew that you had next couple of weeks off, so I didn't want to miss today, so we rearranged. But the thing is between now and the end of the year, I want to make sure we take some time off and so on, but we need at least a couple of shows before the end of the year. So we'll, I'm just throwing that out there because I don't want this to be the last one before all this crap happens, before the end of the year.
No. We're going to be on, mid-November on. Yeah. We're going to be here.
Okay.
I'm going to do a solutions watch talking about your newspaper idea. So we'll talk about that too.
Yeah. We're starting to assemble and everything and that. And I purposely have not read any of the articles that people send me. Yeah. I wait till I get them all in and then I'll start doing the order and all that kind of stuff. And Donna's getting, right after this weekend, we start putting that together. This is going to be an interesting year, and you need to start thinking about, when I ask you again, 22 is what? I guess consolidation of, all sides. And I'm happy to see the yin and yang of this thing, but it's going to get intense, and you have to make a decision now what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, because every conceivable you don't expect it pressure is going to be there to make you do something. You got to be willing to give up your luxury and comfort so you can.
You should have made that
later.
Choice last year. It's almost too late. Right. I said, line in the sand. I had a whole editorial about it. Make your decision now because it's coming. It's here. So I hope you made your decision already.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to go.
Thanks, man. Talk to you later. Peace,
man. All right. Take care, man. Bye-bye.